And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Hey, yo, and welcome to the NBA Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. This is a very special episode because it is dedicated to the one and only Taco Trey Kirby from No Dunks, who had the audacity to complain that we did not do an entire episode on the first night of basketball for pretty much every single team about the Bulls and Ayo Dosunmu. So we needed to at least write that wrong and shout out the Ayo champion himself. And we're going to get right into talking about the man.
No. We're starting a feud. No. You have your show, No Dunks. Trey, you could do whatever you want. Let us do our show at the Ding. We don't need to talk. Don't you just cowtown, Jared. Don't you back down.
All right. I will tell a very quick story. When I was studying journalism at Boston University like 10 years ago, I think they were sold to Basketball Jones at that point. I can't even remember what they were called, but they came and spoke, and they were the only guest speakers that were actually very friendly and nice to me, and I was a diehard fan back then. So with all that, go to hell, Trey. Now let's talk about Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, I wasn't going that far. Damn. But, oh, my God.
Kawhi Leonard. He's an NBA player again, just like Ayo Dosunmu. He played in this game. He scored 14 points. He went 6 for 12 from the field. His Clippers won 103-97. They are undefeated. They are the best team in Los Angeles right now. But the weird part was that he came into the game a little later than we expected.
Yeah, so this afternoon we got a tweet. I think Chris Haynes was the first one to kind of put it out there that, hey, he's coming off the bench. You know, and we've seen this before. Warriors in the playoffs started Steph Curry when he was coming back from an injury. Had no problems with it. I mean, they started him off the bench, brought him into the game, went rolling from there. But this one was weird, Jared, because he didn't get into the game till like midway through the second quarter, to the point where I thought he wasn't getting in the game at all.
I mean, I thought Terrence Mann surpassed him on the depth chart for a minute there. It was because I forgot how big Kawhi is because he has that wiry frame. Kawhi is so big. You see him sitting on the bench. It looks like Yao Ming is sitting on the bench. He looks gigantic on there. And you just see this hulking figure with his shoulders rounded forward, slumped forward. He did not have the body language of a man who was about to come into that game. And then he comes into the game, and he's lighting it up right away.
Yeah, he comes in, knocks down shots. There was good and bad from it with what we got from Kawhi. There were moments where it looked like, man, he's not missing a beat. He's going right into his mode, his actions, and all the same stuff that he was doing before. And then there were times where he was a little bit rusty. You know, it took him a minute to kind of get his flow. He had a really bad miss at the free throw line. It was really short in my view of it. And I think there was just rust in terms of just getting back to the flow of things and playing basketball again. But overall, if you're the Clippers and you're just grading the return, you're happy with it. He came in 14 points, 7 rebounds. Like, what else you want from the man?
I thought it was very on brand for the Clippers that we spent this whole offseason talking about how is this team going to balance all of its depth. And they're going to do that by having like 5 guys score 14 or 15 points. It was everybody pretty much scored the exact same number of points, and that's how they won.
I mean, in terms of the whole performance, this was a very sloppy performance across the board from the Clippers, and they should have lost this game.
They should have.
If we're just being really honest. You know, they 21 turnovers, 11 missed free throws. In general, they had times where they built the lead and then they let the Lakers back into this game. This was not a performance. If you're the coaching staff, you feel comfortable walking away with going like, yeah, guys, let's go. This is one of those of like, hey, man, we stole one. Now we got to figure out how we're going to get right and what we're going to get going. But the bigger issue for me, and this is something I think I'm going to have to just learn to deal with all season, Jared, is they have no offensive structure besides just, hey, player X is going to go one-on-one on this possession. And sometimes it's Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, which is great offense. Sometimes it's Marcus Morris Sr. And that's not always going to be great offense. And I think that's where you really got to start getting concerned with some of the stuff that you're going to get from the Clippers this season.
That's the weird thing, right? Is that they have this incredible amount of wing depth, and yet I'm not seeing a point guard putting it all together yet. I'm not seeing cohesiveness. I see a lot of actions. I don't really see a full play set getting executed too often.
It's a lot of actions to a one-on-one situation if somebody's taking this one-on-one. And it's all of them doing it minus Zubac. Zubac isn't allowed to do that. But I think I think that's kind of the thing that's going to concern me the most about this team going into the season and seeing how the season progresses. I want to see how the offense plays out and do they put something more cohesive together. The one positive thing, a few positive things. John Wall looked amazing.
Yes, yes.
Everything you want from him. He comes in the game. He's 7 of 15 from the field. He's pushing the tempo. He's finding dimes for guys. In 24 minutes, 3 assists, 15 points. Like, you're watching that going like, this is what you need from John Wall. This is the guy that you're talking about that can be the cohesive creator for them.
You know, you made the note here in our show notes that not only did he look really good, he looked comfortable. And that is something that I didn't think we would see right away. He looks comfortable on his legs. And I say legs because it's really the whole thing at this point. He looked explosive with his first step. I mean, he had good acceleration getting into his dribble drives. And he looked dynamic up in the air on a few of those layups. Like, he looked like a close enough facsimile to John Wall that I actually understand now why there was talk about whether or not he would be the starting point guard. It actually seems kind of plausible.
More interesting, he was on the court for the closing lineup. And that's important there for the Clippers and kind of nudging out Reggie Jackson a little bit. In this one game, I think their closing lineup's going to be fluid throughout the entire season. But this was a really interesting way to watch kind of how this whole thing played out. But Jared, we got to talk about the other team.
Let's talk about the Lakers with their big three. LeBron James at 20 points. Anthony Davis at 25 points. But who are we forgetting here? It's Lonnie Walker, 26 points on the night for him. And what did Russell Westbrook do? Oh, he went 0 for 11.
Yeah, I mean, like, this was just, I mean, Russ played well defensively, though. I thought the Lakers looked so much better tonight than they did in Golden State on opening night. They had more energy. They were pushing the ball more. They were playing in transition a lot more, creating turnovers and getting out running a ton. I thought this was one of those games where you were watching it going like, wow, the Lakers look really kind of cohesive, and the exact opposite of the Clippers. They actually were fairly sharp for the most part. You know, you had LeBron who kind of just took over the start of the fourth quarter, Jared, and I think this is the sign of Father Time, because back in the day, he would take over the entire fourth quarter. This one, all he could do was the start of the fourth quarter, and then I think he started to see kind of the fatigue sort of start to wear him down.
Did he even take a shot in that second stint there at the end? I think he had that, like, that three from 400 feet away, but he didn't even take a shot in that last stint that he had in crunch time. That wasn't good. Maybe all those Father Time Nike promos that they're doing with Jason Momoa actually got to him there.
Those are great, by the way. Those are great.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Anthony Davis, he had a really impressive game, and he was hurt most of the time. I mean, obviously, if the dude's hurt the whole year, then, like, ugh, whatever. But he looks promising right now. It looks like if he's fully healthy and he can really dominate night in, night out, they do have a prayer.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Okay. Let's just be honest. I'm sorry, Laker fans. You need more than just LeBron and AD, right? Like, they're going to put up numbers and things like that, and let's hope AD's healthy, because he took a bad fall, and he did not look that great coming back into the game. And I felt like there were times where I was like, we'll find out what tomorrow brings and how he feels when he wakes up. But the real problem, Jared, is just this is not a team that should take 45 threes in a game, period.
It's funny because LeBron said that, didn't he straight up say they're a bad shooting team? So it's funny to see them doing that. But hey, the law of averages states that if you're a terrible shooting team and you shoot it a lot, once in a while you're not going to be terrible.
That's fine, but most of the time you're going to be terrible. Both teams made 9 threes. The Clippers took 29. The Lakers took 45. And they had a ton of open looks, but nobody believes this team is going to make those shots. So there's reason why they're going to be open. That's wasted possessions. When it's guys like Russell Westbrook taking threes, Patrick Beverley 1 for 6, you know, Lonnie Walker 2 for 9. These are guys that are not 3-point shooters. They're not known. I mean, Beverly's a better three-point shooter. I should give him credit for that. But Lonnie Walker's not a guy that lights it up. This is not a guy that should be taking nine threes in a game. That's the stuff they got to cut down and go find another possession. Go find another shot.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, let's get to the early game. Who has the worst record in the NBA right now? Can you tell me that, Mo?
I'm guessing it's the Philadelphia 76ers.
I don't know if that's true, but I'm pretty sure it's true. Because they're 0-2 now. The Sixers, they lost opening night. They lost again, this time to the Milwaukee Bucks, who had their season opener. 90-88 win for Milwaukee. This looked like a pretty easy win for a while. And then credit to James Harden. He went absolutely ballistic early in the fourth quarter. Brought Philly back to the point that they were actually leading with 30 seconds left before Milwaukee turned that around with a Wes Matthews three. Don't edit that out. He deserves me to get it right. Philadelphia, is there any concern at this point?
No, you know, it's the most concerning thing, I think, has been the play of Joel Embiid over the last two games. When you're watching him, he's looked lethargic. He's looked slow. He's not been very good on defense in terms of getting back and things like that. They tried to put him in the post a lot more, which is something that I screamed about on the Daily Ding on Tuesday night. I felt like they tried to get him there, and he struggled with the lineup of shocking. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Brooke Lopez coming at him from help positions and things like that, I think, made it a bit challenging for him. But he's got to be better. Plain and simple, on both ends of the court. Like, it was something you were watching, and it's you can just see it. He did not look good. It got so bad, Jared, the fans started booing him.
He got booed in the second game of the year, and it was like he was trudging down the court.
They never boo! Philly? Yeah,
never happened before. Never happened. The worst part was he was kind of like trudging down the court when it happened, and it just looked aesthetically terrible. But, yeah, the Embiid is off to a rough start. But James Harden's not. You know, James Harden... He's had a few of these moments here of brilliance so far in his first two games, and he is looking like the complete package right now.
He's looked really good. He's looked really good. And that run in the fourth quarter to bring this team back was all James Harden stuff. Him getting into the cup, him creating for other guys. It was really impressive. Their defense really stepped up, and he got going on the offensive end and really got things created. There were positive things besides just Harden in this game. They got Maxey going in transition. Overall, this team did play faster, which is something that Doc Rivers wants to see more of. This team looked better besides Joel Embiid coming out there. But, man, those last two possessions really hurt.
That was ugly. And who ended the game? It was Jrue Holiday on defense, the way it should be for Milwaukee. He looked pretty damn good.
He looked great on the defensive end. Not so great offensively with his shooting side of things. But, ultimately, when you're watching this team, it's their half-court offense for the Bucks is really what struggles. And that's going to be what, until they get Chris Middleton back, that's what you're going to try to key in defensively if you're the other team, is trying to keep them out of transition. It's just hard because, you know, that guy, Giannis, he's a one-man fast break.
Yeah, no, he's pretty good. It didn't really seem like anything Philly could do was going to affect that. But you like Brooke Lopez in this one, right?
I thought Brooke was awesome. Shot the ball well. I thought defensively he was all over the place. get a couple of blocks on Joel Embiid right at the rim. Like, I thought in general, he was kind of the big difference for the Bucks in this game. And I think that's kind of just what you want, right? This is the package you want. Brooke does that defensively. It frees up Giannis to play free safety and just wreak havoc everywhere else. Like, that's kind of the strategy the Bucks have going forward.
To be honest, I think this is the package you want. It's Mo DeKeel. I'm Jared Weiss. She's Danielle Lehman producing us on this evening. That is the Daily Ding. Shout out Trey Kirby and the whole No Dugs crew. And shout out to Lonnie Walker for leading the Lakers in scoring. That's it for the Daily Ding. We'll see you next week.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.